The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Good morning, Vietnam!
Rise and shining. Wakey waking.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to you.
And you.
And you.
Robert Scott Bell. You are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
The FDA is about to get a lot more muscle.
More money and more power.
Sweeping new powers.
The most sweeping overhaul of the nation's food safety laws since the 1930s.
Robert Scott Bell.
If you like the efficiency of the post office, the competence of FEMA, and the compassion of the IRS, we will love the nationalized health care bill.
Robert Scott Bell.
The British Medical Journal accused a researcher, Andrew Wakefield, of outright fraud.
People need to look at the details and not look at the headlines.
This is like Salem, the visceral response that they're trying to whip up in the public to try and crush this dissent.
Enough is enough.
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
Should we whoop it up on today's Robert Scott Bell Show? Whoop, whoop, whoop. What is this going on? The whooping cough in Australia? Does it look like it's coming back? Is it because parents don't want to vaccinate? Or is it because of the mutations occurring due to the vaccination program? Which do you think it is? Well, I'll give you a guess. And it isn't the parents who are not vaccinating that are creating this problem. I got an alert through SaneVax, the gals at SaneVax. Whooping cough strain, now immune to vaccine. Isn't that funny to think of it? The strain of the whooping cough immune to the vaccine. Well, is the virus or the bacteria, well, in the case of the whooping cough, of course, we're talking about bacterium, is it immune to a vaccine? I mean, vaccines don't attack a bacteria to begin with. What they're designed to do, if they even do this at all, is to artificially stimulate the production of an antibody they hope specific to the bacteria that you may one day encounter. And that's the whole game. That's it. That's the whole ball of needle wax. But the bacteria that causes the whooping cough is evidently mutated, eroding the protection provided by the vaccine now given to children, scientists warned yesterday. Oh, they are backtracking. They are doing desperate level best to keep you thinking that it's something that it isn't. University of New South Wales researchers have identified significant changes in the two most common strains of the Bordetella pertussis bacteria, which they also trace back to events in the late 1990s. Why not go back to the 1890s? How about digging up a caveman from Tasmania and doing some PCR on whatever's in his belly and then say, oh, wait, we found it. This is the game they play. Australian children were given a broad acting. Look at that. Broad acting. It acts all over Broadway. Whole cell. A whole cell. This is not whole foods. A whole cell vaccination against whooping cough up until 1997. But this was phased out over 2 years and replaced with a more targeted version. You want to know why? Because the whole cell one that was to a whopping all of them was so dangerous, they had to. And this goes right to the next sentence of the article. I have it linked up at robertscadbell.com. Concerns over potential side effects were behind the change. Potential actual side effects, you dunderheads, were behind the change to a vaccine with a narrower scope. What do they mean narrower? Does that mean the needles were narrow? What do they mean narrower? But this now appears, now they say, to have contributed to the promotion of resistant strains. Now, how is it that these things adapt to the vaccines? The vaccines don't attack them. Does anybody follow this lot? The vaccines, it's not like an antibiotic, right? Antibiotics go in and try narrowly to kill the bacteria and indiscriminately kill lots of things. And then they go, okay, we'll express some new DNA here. And now we're going to eat you antibiotic for lunch. This is what happens. This is where you get resistant strains of bacteria. But to hear that there's resistance to the vaccine, people are going to assume it's the same thing. It's not. It's absolutely not. What we're talking about is something different. Remember, you're just acting, let's say if you're a bacteria, against the immune system, or you're not even doing that. You're just going to do your thing, and hopefully the immune system doesn't get you. So how do you, what do we call it, create a new strain to respond to your antibodies? No, that's, I'm sorry, that's a whole new realm that they're making this up. This is what they call the making stuff up, although I wish I didn't have to say stuff, because that's what they're really making up. A key issue is that the whole cell vaccine contained hundreds of antigens. Could it be possible that injecting children with hundreds of antigens simultaneously, and I don't mean homeopathic, I mean measurable quantities of these antigens, which supposedly gave broad protection against many strains of pertussis, was the reason that they had so much trouble? It was overwhelming the immune system. And then they come back now with the targeted acellular pertussis vaccine, which contains only 3 to 5 antigens. And their findings suggest that the use of this acellular vaccine may be one factor contributing to these genetic changes. Now, why? When are they going to blame the parents that are not vaccinating their kids, right? It's your fault that this thing, it mutated. You didn't get the shot. Wait a second here. They're saying it mutated to the vaccine. And you're going to tell me the parents that are not vaccinating their children are responsible for the mutations caused by the vaccine. This is the kind of mental gyrations. It's like vaccine yoga, except it's not as healthy. It's not healthy at all. The research team analyzed more than 200 samples of the bacterium collected over the last 40 years in Australia and compared them with samples from Japan, Canada, USA, and Finland. And they found while the vaccine now in use was effective against some strains of vaccine circulating in Australia, it may no longer protect against two strains known as MT27 and MT70. There's a Dr. Land here who they're quoting. Let's see, who is he with? Ruding Land. He's with the UNSW School of Biotechnology and Biomolecular Sciences. He's associate professor there. And Dr. Land said, more research is needed. Don't they always say that? We're out of funds. We've got a mutation on our hands. You've got to fund us. You Australian taxpayers are not giving enough. We can't get enough out of the American taxpayer, so we're going to squeeze it out of the Australian dollars that you think you're working for down there, down under. But health authorities may need to modify the vaccine to broaden and protect. So they'll go back to multiple strains and then, of course, increase the toxicity and danger to the children. Whoop-de-doo, whooping cough, we've got you cornered. No, we don't. We've got the children that are going to be harmed by it cornered. Whooping cough cases are on the rise in Australia with several significant outbreaks seen last year. We've heard the same thing in the United States. And, of course, they want to blame moms and dads who are not vaccinated. They desperately want to. But here we caught them. We caught them mutationally red-handed that it is indeed the vaccine that is inducing the mutations, not the lack of getting the vaccine. Protection against whooping cough is contained in childhood vaccinations, which in NSW, New South Wales, are usually given to infants. That's what they say here. Parents who opt out of this vaccination process were thought to have contributed to the rise in cases. See, it went to the last sentence. If you happen to read it, they're going to say, they didn't say that they weren't responsible, but they're thought to be responsible. On what basis? Nobody knows. We've just said it. And of course, in the article comments, and you can see them if they're still up there at robertscottbell.com, somebody who's fed up, who says that we should have mandatory, compulsory vaccinations, or the next thing you're going to hear about is outbreaks of polio. That's right. If we don't force everybody to get vaccinated for whooping cough, they're going to get. This is the insanity of people that have bought hook, line, and sinker, the scientific gobbledygook from the vaccine religion. But then there's another, well, I'd say a cogent perspective from a dad down under. And he says, parents who opt out of this child vaccination process were thought to have contributed to the rise in cases. He's quoting the article. And then he says this, what a load of rubbish. The mutations are caused by injecting live mutated cells into children. It's a fact. Vaccinated children are getting whooping cough. If vaccination protects children, how can an unvaccinated child infect a vaccinated child? Oh, don't ask that question, Dad of Down Under. That's a little out of, you're out of bounds. You're actually having us to face these realities, these immunological facts or deficiencies. You see how stupid the whole vaccination program is, according to Dad of Down Under? If vaccination works, parents who vaccinate their children should have nothing to worry about. And yet they cry that unvaccinated children cause their children to get sick. Isn't that the way it goes? Blame the parents that have opted out of injecting their children with experimental medicaments, including the acellular pertussis vaccine, the whooping cough vaccine. Now, you're not left without any hope or any help. That's the thing here. If I was just screaming, just for the sake of screaming, raging against the vaccine machine, I would leave the story there and leave you wondering, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? The vaccine doesn't work, Robert. And you're going to be worried that if you don't vaccinate your child, that they're likely going to get whooping cough and die. Now, I'm not here to endorse everybody should get whooping cough. Everybody go out and get whooping cough. No, that's not the point of my bringing these things up. It's the fact that there are many methods and ways and remedies and techniques to minimize the risk of either A, acquiring it, or B, should you acquire it, suffering from it, or C, suffering from it severely enough that it would cause any problem at all other than the discomfort of the symptoms of the intense coughing, which nobody would really like or want to see happen to any child. But we've got to remember that disease, if we talk about the germ in reality, pertussis or otherwise, the microbe, the bacteria, the pathogen, is not the disease itself. Your response to it is considered the disease, but those are merely the symptoms of the body trying to deal with it, throw it off, get you back to health again. But in fact, the reality is that the pertussis doesn't cause whooping cough per se. No, in fact, the terrain gives rise to the pertussis that can get then manifest and reproduce to the point of a diagnosed infection. So how is the terrain susceptible? How does the child allow it? How does the child's body or immune system allow it? Is it because it doesn't recognize it? Is that really it? Is it only a function of recognition? And if so, then how could there be whooping cough in vaccinated individuals? How can there be any disease in a vaccinated individual for which you have been vaccinated against that particular strain, as they hope or say that that happens? You should never get it. As should be the case, that no one on planet Earth who has ever had the chicken pox as a child should ever get the shingles as an adult. Because it's the very same, in that case, virus that caused it. The chicken pox now causing shingles. And unless you're here to argue that, well, your immune system just got Alzheimer's, right? It forgot. It no longer recognizes. That's right. I'm here. It no longer recognizes the herpes zoster varicella virus. We don't know what that is. We used to know. I heard rumor that it was like, but we forgot. It looked like our friend. We said, come on in. And of course, that's absurd. We realize that the pathways to infection are bypassing 100, 1,000, a million layers of the immune system, which include the skin, the mucous membranes, the cilia, the hair on the skin and the mucous membranes, the villi, the epithelial lining of the gastrointestinal tract. All of that plays into the defense system or the immune system, the microbiome, the flora that should be present in these kids if they're not vaccinated, if they haven't been raped with antibiotics and additives and preservatives and synthetic colorings and flavorings and sugars and artificials and genetically modified foods. And these are the things that cannot be acknowledged as the real source of disease, the real cause of the manifestation, if you will, of the disease, the expression of the disease, for which if vaccines do anything, they limit or minimize or suppress the expression of disease so you don't react and respond appropriately according to primary immune factors that exist within the skin, the hair, the cilia, the mucous membranes, the mouth, the saliva, the throat, the tonsils, the lymphoid tissue, the esophagus, the stomach, and its acids. and the epithelial lining of the gastrointestinal tract that is housing hundreds of trillions of little microbacteria to prevent, if you will, to protect you from these so-called viruses and bacterium that would manifest and go unopposed without the aid or the help of the microbiome. So what would I do? Well, you know, I've covered gastrointestinal disorders. I've really covered the recovery there, and I'm going to have to do more on that. But specific to the lungs, and I did another show on this recently where I talked about the Antimonium tartaricum. I talked about the Drosera rotundifolia. I talked about the Spongia tosta. I talked about the Bryonia alba. How much Latin do you need? We don't need vaccine. We got any Latin. Latin will save us. No, these are Latin-named homeopathic medicines. And of course, you can go to like the King Bio formulas that are already pre-made for you. So you don't have to worry about the single ingredients and you're covered. I've talked to you about the lobelia tincture. You know, used appropriately. You don't need a lot. Sipping it in water. I've talked about nebulizing silver hydrosol to eradicate the lung issue, the infection, if that is the case. I've also talked about enhancing the function of the liver so that the lungs do not become the massive dumping ground that they are in the so-called whooping cough manifestation. But I think what we're going to need to do is we're going to have to interview a vaccine to get to the bottom of this, because the vaccine makers, the scientists that make them, don't seem to have the common sense that a vaccine might, if it's an honest vaccine. We're going to find out when we come back from this break, the world's first interview with a vaccine. And following that, we'll be joined by Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, at the bottom of the hour. Stay with us on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Remember, robertscottbell.com for all the links.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
Information is so good, it requires no expiration date. The Robert Scott Bell Show.
In my never-ending quest to get you information that is not available anywhere else in media, the Robert Scott Bell Show treads into interview territory today. That it goes beyond the realm of the X-Files, but we did it. We found a vaccine to interview. First ever on broadcast media. Let's go ahead. Bring the microphone up on that vaccine. Mr. or Mrs. Vaccine, you're anonymous. I realize you don't want to reveal fully who you are, what strain. You might have some repercussions. Thank you for being here on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Well, I'm just a vaccine, just a plain old vaccine.
I think you're a singing vaccine. I didn't
And I'd like to be injected into your child. Well, oh, yeah, they sucked me out of some monkey testicles and some hamster ovaries. And
that's
they
awful.
Mixed me with some mercury and aluminum and squalene.
No, they didn't.
And I'd like to be injected into you all. But, you know, if anything bad happens to you, it's fine, because the pharmaceutical companies are indemnified against everything.
It was really horrific what I just heard from the singing vaccine, but in fact, that is indeed what's in that vaccine.
Hello, Robert.
Yes, Mr. Vaccine, thank you for joining me here, and I appreciate your candor in admitting the horrific things that are in you.
I'm just a vaccine. I am made of all kinds of stuff. It's got to be good for you because the government says so.
Well, how do you feel being injected into innocent little children and that their parents are convinced that you're there to protect them? What's in you?
Well, I love to go into their neural areas and do terrible things to their brains. I also like to have adjuvants that make them have things that cannot be explained.
Well, that's for sure. A lot of times as we talk about the vaccine, as we just covered that story, Mr. Vaccine, about the acellular pertussis vaccine, in fact, creating mutations. How do you like that? You might be creating mutations of the strains that are already out there.
I'm a strain in kind of mutation. Mutation is my middle name. In fact, it is. My mother called me Mr. Vax Mutation Ean.
Mr. Vax Mutation Ean, I don't know whether to be, that's very complimentary of your mother to say that. Are you made here in the U.S. or are you made in Europe? Who made you?
Oh, I cannot disclose that information. I am made in a factory somewhere near Harvard.
Ah, okay. Well, we're going to be talking with someone from Harvard. Rumor has it, a professor up there. So maybe, I don't know if I'll be able to ask him. But at this point, I see the lineage of the vaccine industrial complex going back into World War II era Nazi Germany. Are you familiar with any of the lineage?
I got Nazis in my family. We injected a lot of people with crazy things. Now we're injecting your children, and it doesn't matter what happens because the United States Senate has indemnified all pharmaceutical companies against lawsuit and stuff.
Are you aware that Rick Perry is a friend of yours?
Rick Perry is my best friend, and he made it very difficult to get away from me.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, you've endeared yourself evidently to Democrats in California who want you injected into every little girl, even without parental consent. Does that bother you at all?
I love when liberals do stupid things.
Okay. Listen, Mr. Vaccine, I appreciate you stopping by the Robert Scott Bell Show with a little singing. I didn't expect that for the world's first interview with a vaccine here. And it is quite revealing, quite shocking, in fact. And is Julie Gerberdink available at Merck? Maybe I could talk to her.
Oh, Gerberdink will not take your call.
Somehow, I'm not surprised by that. How did you know?
Julie Gerberdink, that's my godmother. Anyway, listen, I got to go hurt some people.
All right. I will listen. Not the people that are listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show. You stay away, Mr. Vaccine, from all of my listeners. Of course, they know better. If we go back to my dear friend Michael Badnarik, you'll understand as you research and learn about the dangers of vaccines, you'll understand why he said, Doc, you bring the syringe and I'll bring my 45 and we'll see who makes a bigger hole. Now run away. Be off with you, Mr. Vaccine.
Oh, I see some children over there. I gotta go.
Somebody, take him out. Did anybody notice that vaccine had probably watched a lot of Schoolhouse Rock? And for those of you that get upset with me for being very vocal in my opposition to vaccines, I can't imagine in the Robert Scott Bell Show audience we have a lot of those out there. But I know some of them do, especially when I mentioned the 45 comment. Recognize, like I do, that that needle could potentially end the life of your child. End the life of your child. And if not that, the damage could be lifelong in terms of autism, in terms of other neurological damage, seizure activity, any number of autoimmune conditions. And you begin to recognize what I have begun to recognize many years ago, that vaccines are assault with a potentially deadly weapon. And then you can understand why I feel the way I do, perhaps you do, and certainly the parents that already have vaccine-injured children know what I'm talking about, that you cannot play nice with those people who so callously say that you should be mandated, forced to inject your child, how you can give no quarter to the Democrats in California who, because of the money that they claim they need in their state, would sell the souls, their own souls, much less their children, out for the needles of Merck in terms of a needless, not needleless, but needless vaccine for the human papillomavirus. You know me, I've got a way to address all of these childhood eruptive and other diseases without having to resort to vaccines. And I know not everybody's plugged into that, but that's why there are hundreds of hours of downloadable audio for free. Thank goodness for Mike Adams and Natural News and naturalnewsradio.com for making that available to everybody. Really extraordinary that that would be the case. But that is the generosity of those who would give the gift of healing. And we would only ask that you would give that gift to others that are in need by communicating the message, letting them know about Natural News Radio, letting them know about the Robert Scott Bell Show. And yes, sometimes I will play a little irreverent with some very serious issues. I mean, you try to do 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, includes the GCN show on Sunday, and you realize that you can't be all doom and gloom about these things, even horrific issues such as vaccines and vaccine damage, to point out the absurdities in different ways, creative ways, that keep the movement, if you will, alive and expanding and opening the consciousness for those who are ready to see horrific things in different ways so that they could make better. We could all make better decisions about our children, about our kids to be. And of course, the things that I did to prepare to have kids years in advance of that, once I realized how I was raised and how I needed to live differently in order to have healthier children than I was, you know, to reverse the decline. It may take a few generations at this point. I don't know how long. But every little step we can take will make a big difference in the lives of your children yet to be if you're in a situation where you're contemplating bringing life, more life, to planet Earth. When we come back, I'll be joined by my good friend Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, as we discuss more of the threat of GMOs and the tide is actually turning and many other things after this.
Because the pharmaceutical companies are indemnified against everything.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver Bioactive Silver Hydrosol is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Did you know that your hormones can be rejuvenated without cancer-causing hormone replacement, including bioidentical HRT? This is Dr. Teresa Dale inviting you to take action with my natural homeopathic formulas. Get relief and balance back into your life. My formulas help heal a variety of health conditions, including menopause or low T. You know you have the power to heal your body and mind, and yes, my system and products will help you do that. They have been proven with thousands of people in before and after saliva tests. You can actually get a saliva test sent to you today, or just start using our formulas for optimal wellness. Learn more at wellnesscenter.net or naturalhealingpro.com, and you can always give us a call at 800-219-1261.
Robert Scott Bell.
Let's take a walk on the wild side.
Alrighty then.
You're everywhere, baby. Radio, TV, the papers. Am I right?
Robert Scott Bell.
Did it start with the rap song, Just Say No to GMO? Well, it's certainly not finished yet, and we're covering it all month with the non-GMO month. And, of course, we had Jeffrey Smith on the last couple of days on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Right now, Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, returns with news of what's going on in California. Could turn the tide altogether for us. Mike, welcome back.
Hello, Robert. Always great to be back. Happy to be with you today and bring in some news that I think is good news. I think victory is within reach on this GMO issue. I mean, it's not going to be without some work.
Yes.
But now we actually have a plan for victory.
Well, this is great. I think the irony of we bring up California, Mike, is that this is the same state where the Democrats are trying to force all little girls to get the Gardasil shot. We're going to ask that same state to label GMOs. I don't know what – it's a schizophrenic state right now.
Well, yeah, what's interesting about that is you see that law to allow children to be vaccinated without parental consent.
Right.
That law went through the legislature.
Yes, yes.
So that's the corruption side of California, or any state for that matter.
Sure.
The lawmakers. But this GMO labeling mandate is a ballot initiative. So
Nice. It's
put on the ballot by the people, not the state Congress people.
Well, that explains it, Mike. That explains it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. That's the whole reason why. I mean, as Jeffrey Smith explained to me in an interview, he said, look, this is – no, I'm sorry. This was with Ronnie Cummins.
Right. Yes, Ronnie.
So many interviews.
Oh, believe me, there's so much going on. It's fast and furious here and, you know, just trying to keep up with it. I'm holding on, you know. So Ronnie Cummins was telling you about this.
Yeah, he said, look, this is the last avenue that's still available to the people to bypass corruption. Because, well, I mean, we see it, of course, at the federal level. The federal Congress, House of Representatives, and Senate are so corrupt.
Yes.
So infiltrated with corporate interests that you couldn't get a national anti-GMO bill through the Congress in Washington, D.C. It would not happen. So the only tool is for the people to create these ballot initiatives, get them on the ballot, and even then we have to fight against what could be a $50 million campaign of lies and disinformation by Monsanto and the biotech industry fighting that ballot initiative.
Yeah, so it isn't enough just to get the thing on the ballot. Once that happens, they will engage in a PR, public relations, black magic campaign to convince Californians that to do this labeling would be the, you know, it means that the San Andreas Fault's going to open up and everybody's going to perish.
Yeah, biotech is fighting for its life over this issue because it realizes that if this ballot initiative gets passed, then the big food producers in America are going to stop ordering genetically modified foods. You know, the Frito-Lays, the Kellogg's, the General Mills, all these big companies, they're going to tell their suppliers, we don't want any more GMOs. And then the suppliers are going to tell the farmers, we don't want GMOs. And the farmers are going to tell Monsanto, we don't want your seeds and we don't want your Roundup.
We can see in this case then how the end game could be played simply because the consumers reject it in one massive state like California. You know, I remember hearing about Texas years ago, how they wanted to mandate certain things in the school books, certain things not in the school books, because it's such a big state. It meant all the school books around the country had to change based on that. I could see this economically happening then. This is a reality. Could be very close.
Yeah, it really could be. And this is, again, this is why biotech is going to put, we think, tens of millions of dollars into this. And Robert, they're going to go all out on the attack. They're going to hire PR trolls. They're going to hire social engineers and social infiltrators. They will probably launch fake nonprofit sites like, and they'll give it names like the Institute for Freedom of Food Safety or something.
Yeah, exactly. And it'll be for GMOs. It's classic the way they use language this way.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're going to do everything. They're going to try to discredit probably Natural News, maybe even go after individuals like Jeffrey Smith or you or me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they will stop at nothing because they're fighting for their bottom line money. But that's also why ultimately they're going to lose, because you see, to them it's just money. But for us, for people like you and me, we are fighting for our future.
Yeah,
we're fighting to protect life on our planet, and that goes beyond money. And life will always win out over greed.
Yeah, eventually it will. There's a lot of suffering seemingly that's taking place prior to that point. And I think a lot of people clearly are waking up, whether they've suffered enough and that's the reason, or whether they see the potential suffering of the next generations. Something is shifting. Consciousness is opening up. And this is the reason that this is happening. And, you know, I mean, I'm excited to see it, but still, I every day I shake my head and go, gosh, who could support this? I mean, who would just sell their soul to do this? Of course, we've covered great evil, unfortunately, on this planet. I just have to remind myself, oh yeah, it's those people again.
It does. It comes back to that foundation of people will justify just about anything as long as they take home a paycheck, or if it strokes their ego and makes them feel important.
Mm.
You know, a research scientist funded by the government, the U.S. government itself, would inject prisoners in Guatemala with venereal disease, you know, I mean, and syphilis, just to find out what would happen. I mean, look, these industries, biotech and pharmaceuticals and vaccines and fluoride, these are industries that are steeped in evil, that are staffed by people who have no soul, who have no heart, who have no compassion. And they are evil people who I believe are really unindicted criminals. And I hope that there comes a day that they have to answer for their crimes against humanity. And, you know, just getting GMOs off the shelf is not good enough. I want to see the GMO pushers serving a hard time in prison.
Well, you know, I look at FDA, and of course, they play a role along with USDA in corrupting the food supply and making claims that these things are safe. And if we look at what FDA has done, if we just go back to the year 2000 and the Starfield report in the Journal of the American Medical Association, at bare minimum, 106,000 Americans dead every year due to government-sanctioned, approved, FDA-approved medicines. Now, that means, okay, year 2000 or 2011, that's, you know, over 1.1 million Americans killed. And,
right.
And yet we had such an outcry to kill one man who was evidently an American citizen, maybe a really bad guy, okay? And Obama says, executive order, by decree, I'm the king, execute them. They send drones over, kill a couple of Americans. And I'm not claiming these people are good people. That's not the argument here. But the argument is, if we're willing to kill someone that hasn't even been convicted of a crime, not brought into trial, and you know, the American people, a lot of American people are in a fervor, oh, yay, go Obama. Even the Democratic left who screamed when Bush did it. And we're ignoring the peril at home. The FDA's attempts, the Monsantos of the world, the revolving door between Monsanto and the government regulators, including FDA. And, you know, that seems to fall on deaf ears. The great danger to America is our own government allowing these things into our food supply.
Yeah, this is a good time for people to be reminded that the greatest murderers in human history have always been governments. I mean, the greatest genocidal acts and acts of mass murder and mass war have always been carried out by governments. And what you are alluding to is really the silent genocide or the silent poisoning of the population through pharmaceuticals and through vaccines. And it, because it's not a big fiery plane crash that can be shown on the evening news,
yeah,
it doesn't get any attention. And I believe that this, in history, this will be viewed as really a terrible, dark moment in human history, sort of the unacknowledged catastrophe or crime against humanity.
Yeah.
that it will eventually be acknowledged. But during our time, as we are alive here today, we are living through this and witnessing this and seeing our neighbors and our friends and family members die by FDA-approved drugs. It is almost more than we can bear to see it happening and know that the FDA is getting away with it.
Yeah, we're living through a Holocaust, and it's not an exaggeration. It's not to minimize any previous Holocausts on the planet among the people, the evil that has visited upon people. But we're living through one that is subtle. It's not like the gas chambers are obvious in this case. I mean, they're coming in white lab coats. They're coming with, government officials, shiny badges. And in the case of the Rossum raid earlier in the year, we've covered, they're coming with guns a-blazing just simply because we choose to consume foods that are not approved by the government, that are not pasteurized, or in this case, that are not genetically modified, for which at the very least, we would ask that they be labeled. Of course, that is sort of akin to saying, like Ron Paul has said about money, let's just have free competition in currency and see where all plays out. And of course, who's going to choose worthless paper except that Canadian reporter that we covered last week as opposed to gold or silver?
Yeah, it's astonishing that the FDA could say that raw milk is dangerous, but that genetically modified foods are safe and that vaccines with chemical adjuvants are perfectly safe. You know, it's going to get to a point where, I mean, it's already insane, but the insanity can become much worse, because if the FDA says raw milk is illegal, they could start arresting women for having breasts.
I argued that one day there'd be pasteurization places where women can pasteurize the breast milk before they feed it to baby, or else they'll be, violating some FDA edict.
Yeah, exactly. And this ultimately gets down to the idea that being a human being is a crime. Hmm. This is really not too far of an extension from what the pharmaceutical industry believes today. For example, the vaccine industry says that you are born into sin as a deficient human being. You're deficient in vaccines. And that's why they vaccinate you immediately after birth, to make you whole, so the vaccines are your savior. It's sort of like being baptized with a needle.
Yeah, except they put a hole in you instead of making you whole.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Well said there.
Yeah, boy.
But this can extend to all kinds of ideas where you have, let's say, independent thinking or can be considered a crime.
Yeah.
Thinking for yourself, having an opinion can be considered a mental disorder requiring chemical treatment.
Yeah, I've heard that. So, yeah.
Right. So, yeah, 1984, right?
Mm-hmm. We've read about it. I mean, they used to make us read. I don't know if they make the kids read Aldous Huxley or George Orwell anymore. But when we come back from this break, Mike Adams and I got to wrap up this hour together talking about the threats of GM foods, as well as the potential for rolling that back, all the movements that are about there. And, of course, anything else that comes to mind, because when we get together, look out. We're going to be coming right back on the Robert Scott Bell Show with more of the Health Ranger after this.
Looking for FDA-approved radio? You're listening to the wrong show. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Hi, this is Mike Adams inviting you to check out naturalnews.tv. This is a video site, a video community website that's been called the YouTube of the natural health community. It's pretty cool. There you can upload videos, share them, view other people's videos, Right now, we're serving over 1.2 million video views a month. We've got a personal health transformation video contest on the site. We've got recipes, superfoods, lectures, interviews, anti-cancer information, diabetes information. I mean, it is just loaded with great videos, how-to videos, knowledge, wisdom, everything you need to know to pursue a natural health lifestyle. Oh, and it's also got a bunch of cool freedom videos from Alex Jones and Jesse Ventura as well, because we are a freedom-oriented natural health website, kind of a health freedom website. Check it out at naturalnews.tv. Again, that's naturalnews.tv.
On bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom. Here's Robert.
California could be the linchpin to bring GMOs to their knees and the manufacturers of them. That would be great. We're discussing this and more with the Health Ranger, Mike Adams, here. One more segment this hour on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Mike, glad that you're with me chiming in on this and so many other issues. Bringing sense where there is no sense or just such absurdity. Sometimes I need to talk to Mike so we can talk sanity.
Yeah, it's always great to talk with you. We cover so many issues, but they are all interrelated, and that's important for people to understand. Sometimes I get weird comments on Facebook say, "What, you're supposed to be about health. Why are you talking about freedom?"
Yeah.
as if they have nothing to do with each other. This is all related because the common thread of everything that we've talked about here is that we now have a government in America that does not respect law. This is crucial. You know, the FDA operates outside the law. The executive branch, the president himself, operates outside the law. The Congress outside the law, and so on. You know, DEA, ATF, USDA. We've covered all of these. CDC. Hmm. It just goes on and on. Now, what do you get when you have a government that respects no law and respects no rights? You get, in time, you get a total police state tyranny.
Yeah.
And the historical record has shown that clearly. It's without debate that is eventually what happens when a government respects no law and when we get away from the ideas of a republic.
Mm-hmm.
So the things much of the time, what you and I talk about are really symptoms of this greater disease or this deeper cancer, you might say, the cancer of a government that has lost its way and has decided not to follow any law whatsoever.
Yeah, which means the people have lost their way as well. I mean, when we're unwilling to hold government to the ideals and the limitations, then at that point, the irony is that the people begin demanding more and more of a police state. That, you know, isn't that funny the way it doesn't happen from above, but the people start clamoring for it? I mean, one false flag event after another, and eventually you've trained the people into clamoring that the only way we can survive is to have more government intrusion, more police state presence, because we got to protect against the lawless people that are sitting in at Wall Street. Whether they realize what they're protesting or not, now they're being already paraded about in the news as thugs that are ready to rape, burn, and pillage. And yes, the villagers are a little bit upset, and the more they realize and wake up that they have been robbed blind. So it's not unprecedented, nor is it unjustified for the anger to be there. But it's almost like they precipitate the event so that they can sweep in and come in, just like we create the disease so we can sweep in with the drug to give you 10 other diseases so we can keep selling you drugs.
Well, that's it. You've just nailed it, Robert. I believe completely that this is all being engineered for the purpose of being able to justify a total police state. The government, look, I've said this on your show before, but it's worth repeating.
Yes.
Every entity that exists in opposition to something eventually has to create the very thing that it claims to oppose in order to ensure its own survival. So the cancer industry must create cancer in order to exist. The diabetes industry must in some way prolong or create diabetes, which it does, in order to exist. The ATF must create gun running in America in order to feel powerful. The CDC must actually proliferate infectious disease through its actions, and the list goes on and on. Well, government, in what circumstances is government needed by the people? Well, when the people feel desperate and helpless. So there is a program, I believe, an actual plan to teach people to be victims, a learned helplessness.
Yes.
So that people cry out of desperation for big government to come save them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just as you said, government sweeps in and says, we're the solution. Give up all your money, give up all your rights, give up all your freedoms, and we will save you.
Mm.
And this is the seduction of the police state. And this is what George Orwell warned us about.
Yeah,
this is where we're headed.
And Mike, it's so slow and insidious too, because if we go back to 1910, because that was the Flexner Report. We've talked about it. I've talked about it on the show many times. Abraham Flexner, preordained report, Carnegie Rockefeller Foundations to establish, you know, medical curricula that would eliminate any competition to petrochemical patent medicines. 100 years later, to the year, basically 2010. Was the passage of Obamacare. Now, you had to have a significant amount of people, even though there was an outcry against it while it was being passed, there was a significant outcry for it, or for some form of reform of medicine. Now, government screwed it up by creating the monopoly that inevitably they knew the people would say, hey, it's the market. The market did it. It's capitalism that did it. And of course, capitalism isn't what we're for necessarily. We're for free markets, which we've discussed. That's different as well. But in other words, they've taken such a long view. It's multi-generational. And we're just here. We want to live our lives and be left alone. But they're looking at the long view. How do we capture your kids? How do we capture your grandkids? That is really sinister and diabolical.
Yeah, it really is. But there's so much at stake here, because it's not just the profit. It's also that it's crucial for these people to stay in positions of power over the common masses. And this gets down to the issue of making sure that nutrition is so poor,
mm-hmm.
that people don't have strong cognitive function,
yep.
or making sure there's fluoride in the water so that people are poisoned, or making sure that psychiatric drugs continue to be dealt out to children so that they can't think very well. I mean, even just the government-run education system, the Department of Education, is really all about de-education. It's preventing people from having a real education so that they might actually learn history or learn to think critically for themselves, and those people would then rise up to challenge the system. And that cannot be tolerated in a society based on central command and control.
Yeah, it's as if the United States of America was, you know, like the middle finger to the world elite initially, to say, screw it, the people right. are going to do it, right? And from that moment forward, the U.S. was the target, you know, to be taken over. We cannot allow this to stand. And we know the threats to the Constitution and the sovereignty of the nation were basically the moment the Declaration of Independence signed, the Constitution was ratified. There were attempts to undermine it. And that has been going on since the beginning. And our founders warned us against this, warned us not to go to sleep. They didn't say, don't go on drugs. They didn't think we'd all be on drugs until that was Orwell and Huxley later on in the 20th century, where that became the eventual play here. Now, you've talked about, as we have genetic modifications, these are genetically engineered. You've also talked about engineering the police state. Can we engineer our way out of this, or is it simply by the grace of God or some deus ex machina? Does an alien beam down from planet who knows what to save us? Are we helpless and hopeless at this point?
Well, that's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. I know that I'm not hopeless. I know that you're not hopeless. I know that there are a small number, relatively small
mm-hmm.
Number of individuals who are really self-driven, who are independent-minded, and who are into preparedness and you know, thinking for themselves, who will survive whatever changes are headed our way. But in terms of the general public masses out there, I really suspect that either many of them will not survive the next decade, or perhaps the next generation will be so infertile from their pharmaceuticals and drugs and fluoride and vaccines and GMOs too.
Yes,
that they are going to cease to carry on their family lines in the human gene pool.
Mm.
So, one way or another, I do not see mainstream thinkers surviving beyond the next, let's say, even at the outset, 50 years. That's probably the limit.
Yeah, they become the dinosaurs of this age, no doubt. And, yeah. So, you know, listen, it was inevitable. Even if we did nothing, as I said, you cannot continue to live this way. It will die out of its own accord. But We're trying to help it along because we'd like to see more life and energy come back into the world in this realm. Now, if we're talking about positive steps people could take, we've talked about the support of the Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund, if I'm not mistaken, and other means. If we can support in some way the California ballot initiative, what kind of things can we do, Mike?
Well, you know, honestly, one of the best things you can do is get prepared to survive the coming economic collapse.
Yeah,
that is going to hit our world so hard, and it's imminent now that this could happen well within the next 2 years. And being able to get through that without becoming a government victim is going to be really key. So having some backup income, having some stored food or the ability to garden, having some land so that you can grow and live more with more independence and freedom. Having your own water source is going to be key. If you can be off the grid in terms of electricity and have some solar power, that's also a very important strategy. But, you know, being able to survive when society doesn't function the way that we expect it to, and probably only 5% of the population, maybe it's a much smaller number than that, is really in that situation where they can survive the unexpected.
Yeah. So
maybe it's only 2%. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we've got to set I guess, reasonable goals that we can assess, like, you know, as we are trying to roll back the GM food situation as well. But we also look at the survival on a long scale, long-term basis. Just like I said, those that are diabolical and sinister about it seemingly have planned over generations. And we've got, I guess, get back to that learning and understanding. I think those that grow food really do understand that kind of planning, because you just can't plan even for one season at a time. That's not enough. So really, it's the long view. I think we're being urged to start taking that long view.
Absolutely. And by the way, I think that growing some portion of your own food is one of the most spiritually evolved things that you can do.
Yes.
It's not just about independence. It's about living as a wholesome human being in harmony with nature. And I think that societies that maintain an agrarian base are healthier. They have lower rates of crime. They have healthier individuals, greater longevity, and greater happiness.
Mm-hmm.
And us moving away from agriculture
that was a big mistake.
The city life has not uplifted our civilization in any appreciable way.
No, unless you like being rats in a maze, as we say. And you know, I'm over that. I'm looking as well to incorporate more and more of the things we talk about every day here, and the things we get to do when we do our seminars together, Mike. And I always appreciate you dropping by here. And I've got the link at naturalnews.com, of course, to this article: "Death Blow to GMOs: California Ballot Initiative Calls for Mandatory Labeling of All Genetically Engineered Foods." You can check it out also at robertscottbell.com. You're listening through naturalnewsradio.com. Where Mike is so gracious as to host hundreds of hours now. It's ridiculous, Mike, how many hours we've done here on the radio show, getting great information out. And people are, you know, they're writing in and saying, "I'm only on May. Will you slow down already?" You know, trying to catch up is really funny.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's an abundance of material. And if you would allow me to plug one thing, I've got an interview up on naturalnews.com with Jeffrey Smith.
Oh, beautiful.
That's running today, and that's part of a fundraiser. We are working to raise funds for the Institute for Responsible Technology, the IRT.
Yes.
Natural News has pledged $15,000 in matching funds for donations from our readers. So
beautiful. Jeffrey mentioned that. I'm so grateful for that, and I encourage everybody to do that. So we'll have that link up as well for those of you listening at robertscottbell.com, right to that audio interview with Jeffrey Smith and Mike Adams. So I'm glad to have that on board. So Mike, thanks again for jumping on board today and getting this message out.
Thank you, Robert. It's always good to join you. Have a great show.
Well, we've got lots more healing to do. Next hour, I'm going to tackle hepatitis C and gray hair. I don't know if they're related, but we'll see what else we can do. In the meantime, just remind you that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Hey there, this is Mike. Got a couple of things you may want to check out. Did you know about the website counterthink.com? These are some really hilarious, freedom-oriented, health-oriented, even political cartoons that you got to check out. Counterthink.com. foodinvestigations.com. And if you want to know what's in your food, go check out foodinvestigations.com, where you've got a bunch of free mini documentaries, little videos there that you can watch that will show you what's in your food and what's not in your food. We talk about Total Blueberry Pomegranate Cereal made by General Mills. Did you know it has no blueberries in it and no pomegranates? We got the video right there on foodinvestigations.com. And if you really want to know what's in your food, your medicine, your personal care products, and so on, head over to naturalnews.com. We're publishing about 12 articles a day now, everything from healing superfoods to the dangerous chemicals in your products, foods, and medicines. Naturalnews.com. Check it out.
The information on the Robert Scott Bell Show has not been approved by the Food and Drug Administration and is not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any disease. Nah, just kidding. As far as we're concerned, the FDA can kiss our
ass. Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
Oh, look at all these trillions of dollars debt, lost jobs, and foreclosed homes.
Did I do that?
You dug yourself a hole and you crawled in it.
Robert Scott Bell.
How did the Department of Homeland Security get into the medical business?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The sky is falling. A piece of it just hit me on the head.
Robert Scott Bell.
We will make this the most honest, ethical, and open Congress in history.
Is there any insanity in your family?
Do we have the power to tell people what they have to eat every day?
Senator Coburn, today,
Junior?
Taking on bureaucrats and corporations that would stand in the way of health freedom and making sense out of medical propaganda. The voice of health, freedom, and liberty, Robert Scott Bell.
I wonder who's going to want this more. This story is pretty interesting. They got a picture of George Clooney, so you know they're trying to attract the women to it. And of course, the men want to be looking like George Clooney. At least that's what I hear. And there's a story about this. It's coming through Fox News, and it was published through The Sun originally. Under Body, Mind, and Health, new drug may stop hair from going gray. Right? We can't have gray hair. That's not allowed anymore. Normal part of the, I've been on planet Earth a while, my hair's going to go a little bit gray. Some sooner than others. Others longer. Whatever. Scientists say they've created a pill that stops hair from turning gray. Experts at beauty firm L'Oreal claim it will keep your hair its natural color forever. Forever! I don't know if this is a good thing anytime it says forever. Was our bodies meant to be basically stay the same forever? They say that the daily drug, they said it's a drug, will not be expensive. Okay, then will it be a drug? If it's not expensive, it might be a supplement. Could it be? Let's see. And it's totally natural because it uses a fruit extract. Okay, L'Oreal might be going natural. Let's find out. Quote from the article here, people will take it like a dietary supplement. Will it be one? Will they take it like one? I don't understand where they're going with this. They need to start using the pill before their hair goes gray, however. That's according to Bruno Bernard, head of hair biology at the cosmetics company. They got hair biology and Bruno. Wasn't Bruno something, that comedian, who was that guy? Did a show of Bruno. Anyway, L'Oreal, which has been developing the drug. See, now it's a drug again. Is anybody else confused by this? For more than a decade, says it won't be available until 2015. And it will take likely 10 more years before they can prove that it works. Because it takes that long for gray hairs to sprout. 10 more years before we know if you're going to get gray hair. What are we going to do with that?
I'm too sexy for my love.
What is that? Don, are you playing that?
I don't know what that is, Ro. I don't know where that's coming from.
What is that?
Hello?
Yes?
This is Bruno.
Bruno's here.
Yes.
What do you think, Bruno? Does this pill really work? Is it a drug or is it a supplement?
It's a droplement.
Did you say droplement?
Yes, it is a pill that you take every day for 100 years and never have gray hair.
Oh, wait, what about the rest of your body?
No, you'll never have gray hair there either, sunshine.
That's not what I meant. Will the rest of your body survive that long time? That's all I'm asking.
We need more time to study. I'm taking it every day now, 6 months. No gray hair.
No gray hair.
No.
And is there something wrong with gray hair? What about the distinguished George Clooney? Do you like him with gray hair?
Oh, George looks good with gray hair. It's not everybody can wear it well. He wears it well. Go figure.
Well, Bruno, I don't know if you know science, but the pill contains a fruit extract which mimics a chemical called tyrosinase-related protein 2, or TRP-2. Hair is at its most vigorous from birth to age 25, but from age 30 on, TRP2 begins to wane. What do you know about TRP2?
I knew Tyrone. He never waned. He was very, very vigorous.
No, not Tyrone. Tyrosinase. I don't think this was the same person we're talking about.
Mm.
Listen, Bruno, I appreciate that you could stop by suddenly from L'Oreal to discuss this.
It's great product. You don't have problems. Take it every day.
Yes, but it hasn't been proven yet, and I'm not even sure if it's a drug or a supplement.
It's droplement.
Droplement. Okay, we'll look more into that, Bruno. Thank you for dropping by. Listen, this is the Robert Scott Bell Show. We got a lot of fun this hour. In fact, I've got to take an early break because we have a professor, Willett, I believe it is. He was part of that research team that was upset out of Harvard about MyPlate.gov. He says it's not good. And I want to find out about that. So we've got him on schedule, but he's got a limited time. So we're going to go to that interview after this break. Remember, you're listening to the Robert Scott Bell Show on naturalnewsradio.com. And, of course, robertscottbell.com, 866-939-BELL. Stay with us. Very important interview coming up after this.
It's a droplement.
Why do you listen to the Robert Scott Bell Show?
Bravery and integrity is amazing, and it's much needed.
I love, love, love your show.
I love the show, like all the things that you're doing with Mike Adams and all the writers at Natural News.
To be quite frank with you, I think the show is the biggest breath of fresh air we've found.
Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Hello, this is Jonathan Wagner. We have an internet website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, that carries many of the products discussed on Robert's show, including 100% whole food chromium and selenium, silica, as well as sovereign silver and Nordic naturals. Choosetobehealthy.com features the Rolls Royce of probiotics. It's Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. Dr. O'Hara, a world-renowned microbiologist, formulated a unique probiotic that blends ancient Japanese fermentation methods with 21st century technology. No refrigeration is needed. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics contains the strongest lactic acid bacteria known to man based on scientific laboratory research. 6.25 times stronger. Quite simply, it works and works very well. So go to our website, www.choosetobehealthy.com, or call us toll-free, 866-424-1077. That's 866-424-1077. We're here to help.
What do you think? Call Robert now at 866-939-2355. That's 866-939-BELL.
Since the 1920s, people around the world have been using radio frequencies to safeguard the health of themselves and their families. Through this tested technology, pioneered by Royal Raymond Rife, researchers have found that specific radio frequencies can eliminate viruses, bacteria, molds, and parasites without harming normal healthy cells. Frequency technology could help millions now suffering from various infections, even arthritis, herpes, Lyme disease, and other painful chronic conditions. The BCX Ultra Frequency Instrument has been developed over a period of 30 years. The BCX Ultra is one of the most powerful healing tools ever. Turn ill health around. Enjoy life again. Start learning about the BCX Ultra today. Visit bioelectricsforhealth.com or call 1-800-936-6240. That's 1-800-936-6240. Call today and start the healing.
Robert Scott Bell Show.
We've been seeing a lot of things about listeria and E. coli and all of that. And it turns out one of the main reasons that this could be happening, besides being downstream from factory farms, have they considered the long road from farm to fork? Right? It used to be that you grew something, it was in the neighborhood you grew it in the community, and you ate it. No biggie. But now you're talking about sending stuff in from all areas of the United States or beyond, whether it be from China or South America or Canada. That could be contributing to a lot of the food outbreaks, so to speak, contamination that happens after it comes from the farm. Now, this doesn't mean that we ignore the fact there are factory farms just with runoff coming on down into the food you may be eating inadvertently. But the reality is we are going to have to get more local as things go from farm to fork. So we've got links up there on this story. We'll be talking about that. I've got a Harvard researcher set to join me, someone I've never interviewed, I don't believe, yet here on the Robert Scott Bell Show. It relates to the food plate. Remember I talked about the four food groups when I grew up? Yes, I'm an old man, graying. Oh, my gosh, I have four food groups, pizza, hot dogs, Coca-Cola, and potato chips. I remember all of them, those four food groups. And then, of course, they switched them to a food pyramid. And then from the food pyramid, they went to a, well, multiple food pyramids. And then they went to a food plate. Yes, a plate. And it was so simple that some Harvard researchers saying, you've gone too simple now. Okay, it was complicated with multiple food pyramids. There were eyes hovering over the pyramids. What did it mean? Does that mean we go on the Andrew Zimmerman show? What is that? Eat the food that you see, even if it's on the side of the road? What is that show? Bizarre Foods. That's right. Bizarre Foods with that guy. Does that mean you have to eat the floating eye above the pyramid? What does it mean? And so we're going to go to, I think his name is Walter Willett. Walter Willett is a professor out of Harvard. I don't know if he's active at this moment. We'll get the word from that. But the Harvard researchers, including Walter Willett, evidently are questioning the USDA and the use of MyPlate. I don't know if he knows Michelle Obama personally, because I think she went out and promoted the MyPlate. It's a very colorful plate. You got veggies, you got whole grains, you got healthy protein, you got fruits. There's even a water glass next to it, and there's a healthy oil, but I have a hazard to guess that there'll be a vegetable oil that's rich in omega-6, very minimally balanced with omega-3s of any kind. That's something we'll find out probably from Professor Willett, because, you know, these Harvard professors, they know everything. So we'll find out about it. Do we have Professor Willett on with us? Professor Willett, do we have you?
Is this the Dr. Bell?
Well, yeah, as a teacher, doctor, whatever you want to call me, but you are a PhD in what, nutrition, or you're just from Harvard?
I am a PhD resident in absentia at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where we do research with mice and other kinds of things to see what the nutritional effects of foods.
Professor Willett, let me ask you something. What is it about this?
Will be in the long term. We have questions about the nutritional efficacy of the MyPlate.
The MyPlate, yes, that's what I wanted to get to you about. The MyPlate, Professor Willett, what is it about MyPlate that offends you?
I don't think offend is going to be the correct word. I don't take this personally. My concern, if I am able to put it in those rather strident terms.
Okay, what is your concern about MyPlate?
Thank you. Would be that the MyPlate is, in fact, too simple and leaves many essential nutrients or nutriments out of the American dieter's plate of information or biologically coded information.
I understand it's, Professor, excuse me for a second. I understand it's simple, but I mean, not everybody has been to Harvard like you to understand the complexities of nutriments. Is that what you said?
Well, nutritional alimentariuses, which will be decoded by the biological spectrum of genetically modified interacting pheromones in the gut lining, will eventually bring things into the toilet.
Well, yes. No, I understand about the alimentary canal, moving things through. We want that to happen. But you mentioned genetic modifications. Are you saying that the food on my plate needs to be genetically modified?
Unfortunately, the my plate has left out the GMO food group as well as the vaccine food group. Now, when I look here, I see fruits.
Yes. I don't remember the vaccines.
Now, in particular, this bothers me because fruit is actually the plural of fruit, and to say fruits is misleading to the American public.
What could be misleading? I mean, listen, I'm not a big fan of the MyPlay, Professor, but what could be misleading about the word fruits being plural?
Fruit is actually the plural of fruit. I would like a lot of fruit, or I'm having a piece of fruit is both or are proper grammatically structured. But the main issue here is the lack of the GMO food group.
I would go back to the four food groups before I would start adding a GMO food group. Is this what they're teaching at Harvard?
At Harvard University, we are pioneering the act and art of genetically modifying food, which will end in the toilet after receiving some nutritional alimentarius codexifying in your alimentary canal, where the nutriments will align themselves for a moment before finding themselves into the municipal waste system of your city or borough or township. The most important things that are being left out of the four...
Well, the four, believe me, they went back to four, right? Vegetables, whole grains, healthy protein, and fruit.
Fruit, only fruit. It's not necessary to have a plural on the end of this word.
Is that true, Professor, with vegetables? Or you have an offense at
vegetables can be pluralized by adding the...
I am a little concerned, Professor, about not the plurality, if you will, of these vegetables, but that you seem to be thinking along the lines that GMOs should be a whole separate food group
by
that we want to include.
Thank you for bringing that up, Robin. Now,
Robert.
By not including GMOs on the plate, we are sending a strong message to the young people on whom the future is saddled and based and also will be carried for perpetuity into that said future. The future relies on genetically modified organisms to carry enough.
Professor.
Yes?
Are you sure you're with Harvard, or are you with Monsanto? Or is there some kind of stipend that's happening there at Harvard? I really want to get make sure there are no conflicts.
Yes, I am on the stipend plan from the Monsanto organization to fund the future of food research at the Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. We are a sister school, though not officially affiliated with the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, which helps our boys in blue kill all of the people who oppose us. But back to the major point.
Yes.
Not only are we lacking a GMO group, but we're also lacking a vaccine food group.
Listen,
it's very important that young people understand that vaccination is not just a dessert, but a main course in their growing bodies.
Maybe this is the reason for that new sponsor we have coming up. I don't know if this was tied in or vetted out properly. Professor, what about the oils, the omegas, the healthy oils? Is that part of this plan, or is that – it's not on the plate. It's next to the plate. What does the Harvard University say and your professorship say about the role of oils in the diet?
I'm glad you asked this, Brent. Now the
– Robert.
Robin.
Robert.
The Gesundheit. The important role –
Professor.
Of oils is now understood that anyone carrying a trans fat or partially hydrogenated oil should probably be arrested or at least fined at least $10,000, the equivalent of what I make every 10 minutes from the Monsanto stipend.
Are you saying that we should avoid that kind of oil, or we should embrace the
hydrogenated oil is a sin against humanity. Now, when you talk of omega-3s and 6s, I believe you're being specific to a level that the average American is neither acquainted nor necessitated to be acquaintanceship with.
I really don't understand what you've just said, Professor.
In plain English.
Yes.
As long as they're eating it, and it's approved by the FDA, it is good for them.
All right, Professor. I think I've had about enough of the Monsanto stipend bleeding through the oil here. Is there anything else that we should know before I let you go? And I appreciate you taking the time, although I'm a bit concerned about the conflicts of interest being represented here out of Harvard, though I'm not surprised. What about the water? Because there's a water glass. Do you have any perspective? I mean, are you upset about the water glass sitting outside the new food plate from the government?
I didn't receive a water glass with my plate. I'll have to rectify this somehow. I do have an external source of dairy, which I feel is very important, unless you are allergic to dairy, in which case I believe you could find a lovely genetically modified corn and soy-based supplement now being handed out overseas.
Did you say genetically? I have not heard that term before. Is that a different form of genetic modification?
It is a new kind of genetic modification to which we are taking nuts and seeds, and we, for the sake of laughter in the laboratory, call it genetically modified.
Okay, well, this is something new. All right, I'll give you props. We've introduced genetically.
We know how to cut loose and have fun in the lab, contrary to common belief.
Professor.
Scientists. I will now like to read some poetry that I have written about genetically
modified. We're going to have to go to break. Thank you, Professor. We're going to have to go to break. Don, who booked this professor? Where did this come from?
Am I still on the air?
Can you cut his mic, please? This is not what I thought it was going
Robin,
to be.
Robin, I'd like to read some poetry. I think that Professor, I should never see
me.
A thing as lovely
Don,
as a genetically
we really need to run a commercial
tree.
Now. Can we take a break here on the Robert Scott Bell Show? Somebody press the button.
A tree with new
limbs. He's not leaving.
And beetle faces all over it.
This is the professor that will not leave.
Biological.
Help me out here. All right, we're going to break.
Am I still
all right,
in the air?
Bear with us. We'll be right back,
Dr.
maybe,
Bell?
After these brief commercial announcements on the Robert Scott Bell Show. Thank you for being here. We're going to have to go to break. Thank you, Professor. We're going to have to go to break. Don?
Am I still on the air?
Pharmacological research from universities all over the world have proven that papaya supplements have tremendous health benefits. At the One Stop Health Shop, that's one-stop-health-shop.com, you'll find our international bestseller, Papaya Leaf Extract. Its natural probiotic formula supports your white blood cells, reduces oxidative stress, and strengthens your immune system. Papaya is one of the richest sources of antioxidants in the world and up to 20 times more powerful than vitamin E. One Stop Health Shop carries a large fermented papaya product selection. Our supplements are all natural, certified organic, GMO-free, and made right here in Australia. But they are shipped to you anywhere in the world free of charge. Take advantage of our limited time down under prices and order now. Don't wait. Visit the One Stop Health Shop. That's one-stop-health-shop.com for all your nutraceutical needs and get free shipping on all products ordered. one-stop-health-shop.com.
Dr. Teresa Dale here with an urgent message for you. Are you seeking a natural solution for hormone balance? Do you now use any hormone replacement? Do you suffer from menopause or low T? Do you want results using safe, natural, and trusted products? We have thousands of test results proving the efficacy of our products. I created a proven homeopathic system and the only 5-element saliva test in the world used by thousands of health providers and now available to you. Did you know there are side effects to using bioidentical hormones in any HRT? Don't wait. Get my 5-element saliva test and get your hormones balanced. Don't risk cancer and other side effects. Call us. 800-219-1261. That's 800-219-1261. Or visit naturalhealingpro.com.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Robert
Ryan. He is tenacious, isn't he?
Scott.
He's a brave and a decent man. He's a pioneer.
Bell.
This message must be read in every newspaper, heard on every radio, seen on every television.
The Robert Scott Bell Show. Scott Bell Show.
Now, I've been doing the Robert Scott Bell Show for years, and that had to be one of the most bizarre interviews I have ever had the misfortune of having to conduct. I thought we got a serious Harvard professor. There was a Professor Willett that was upset about that MyPlate study. I think somebody did the old switcheroo. I've asked my good friend, conspiracy realist Liam Sheff, to join me. He actually spent a lot of time up there in Boston and maybe crashed one or two professorial meetings there at Harvard. And did you hear that interview in the green room? Were you able to listen to that?
Yeah. Ramblin' boy, why don't you settle down? Boston ain't your kind of town. I do not think that was
the real Professor Willett.
I don't think so.
I think it was an imposter. Now, I am not overly impressed with people from Harvard, but, you know, every once in a while they get something that's legitimate to talk about. But genetically modified? What the heck is going on there?
I don't know. I sort of fell over at that point. But, you know, these guys, they're kind of uptight. They live in their own little world, and the things that aren't – I mean, little PCR jokes that'll happen between lab scientists. Oh, I didn't spin it correctly. Ha, ha, look, it's going left instead of right.
They really do that.
It's a wonky in crowd, the little jokes. That you want to see some fun, go on to the YouTube and type in PCR, how to do PCR, and you see all the 20-something little laboratory jockeys, the little kids, the – kids coming in from all the countries now that send their children here to learn how to vaccinate the people at home, India, Southeast Asia, China, all this kind of stuff. And they come
right
working in the labs, and a lot of people from United States and Canada who come to these centers of education and learning, like Massachusetts, MIT, Tufts, and Harvard, not to mention Yale and the rest of these big places with big medical schools. And they come and they learn to do this rather meaningless, arbitrary, kind of cloistered stuff. They might as well be talking Latin to each other, not understanding what they're saying, but they're running PCR and they're doing the
right. Just for new listeners, of course, Liam and I have covered the polymerase chain reaction test that Carrie Mullis invented extensively to show how inaccurate and ineffective and really worthless it is for assessing an infectious agent as a cause in any given person or human as far as the cause of their disease, because of what it does, taking a fragment, a really fraction of DNA or some I don't know, debris, and say, amplifying it many thousands of times, and then saying, hey, it's what we think it is, and whatever.
Many trillions, in fact.
Trillions, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they do it at the order of exponents, so 24 times, you know, you're getting into the trillions. 24 times what? Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. No, you don't know what you start with, so you end up with people with, what, hepatitis C? Well, they don't have hepatitis C. You just did PCR on them, and then the doctor says, oh, you have hepatitis C.
You know, I was talking with a doctor just today on the subject of hepatitis C. You know, they had called and had a question about a patient who was being aggressively treated with silver and other nutrient therapy, some of it intravenously done. And they had dropped what they call the viral load by half or more, and there were some good things going on, but the patient was no longer able to afford the aggressive intravenous therapy. So we discussed some other adjuncts. I brought in homeopathy as such. And, you know, it was interesting because this was a medical doctor I was talking to. Nice woman. And she was asking me about, well, what can we do if we can no longer do the aggressive intravenous therapies? And I said, well, have you done homeopathic adjuncts, right? The energetic medicines are addressing any type of liver dysfunction. We talked about ramping up selenium, glutathione production, NAC. We talked about a lot of things she was already doing, but she wasn't familiar with homeopathic medicine. But the issue of viral load tests came up. And this was a big one because the patients themselves, and in this case, the woman, she said her patient was a high-level executive and professional woman, but had become so obsessed with these viral load tests. And that even though she was feeling great and doing great, she still was, she lives and dies by these tests. And I said, how is the patient feeling? How is the function? Is she have elimination patterns that are healthy? Does she have digestion? Does her energy? Yeah, well, she's doing really well, the doctor told me. I said, that's where we need to focus. But if she's so obsessed with that, until you know, convert it, because she said, well, if we do this now in oral therapy and homeopathics and silver oral, when should we do this test again? I said, if it were up to me, I'd put it off 6 months, simply because as long as you see that she's feeling well, that's an indication that things are going well. We cannot discount the function of the body, what the body is communicating. And I realize that may not be a good answer for someone who's now so focal pointed on these tests, Liam. So it's not only the doctors, but the patients.
The patients live and die by them. In the AIDS conundrum, I've got so many friends who thought they were, rejected the idea that they were in the process of thinking about whether they're HIV positive. Because of the work that I do, I meet a lot of people and we become friends and I'm happy to know them. Once you learn that the HIV test is about as
accurate
as the Dianetics reading, you know, what is that called when you go get your
E-meter? They call that an audit.
Yeah,
audit. They do an audit of you.
With the E-meter.
Yeah.
I think I would trust the E-meter.
a little bit more.
More than the HIV test. But it takes people a while to do this. Anyway, they get sucked in and they have the antibody test and they say, well, I've had three antibody tests. And you know what? We actually, a friend of mine, she's a PhD. She recently received, and I did this on my little show previously, but she received a positive HIV test based on a positive antibody test, followed up by another positive antibody test. And then she was told she was positive. And then she and I were talking, and I said, you have a world of reading to do.
Yes.
And she began to question it and question her doctor. A week later, she got a call. And remember, she's a PhD professional person, a white woman, middle class, well-educated, all these kinds of stuff, university. And the doctor said, what would you say if I told you that you weren't really HIV positive, even though you've had all these positive tests? And my friend said, at this point, wouldn't surprise me at all. So she was excused, more or less, from her HIV result. Now I've got another friend, and he went to his doctor recently after some 20 years of being positive. The only time he's ever been sick was when he was given the drugs. And I think there were two or three times that he went on the drugs and then got sick and stopped the drugs. Went to his doctor and said, by the way, what's a high viral load? What is a high viral load? Because my viral load's always been really low. What's a high viral load? And the doctor said, well, now remember, this is supposed to measure virus. So imagine having this many viruses in your body. You take a viral load, and people have like 6,000. Is that high to have that many virions in your body? No. No. No, he said, no, maybe a million. I've seen people with a trillion. Really? A trillion viral particles? Is that what they have? No, they don't have any, because you're magnifying stuff. You don't know what you're magnifying. And my friend said, are you joking? Because I've never had more than 100 to a couple of thousand. Why have I ever been on these bleeding drugs?
Mm-hmm.
No answer.
Yeah. I had a case in point of talking with many hepatitis C patients over the years who had been, some had been on interferon, were too brutal. The side effects were wicked, and most of them wouldn't survive it.
My mother.
Did she do that?
Yeah. Yes. It makes me angry, but she got a damnable hepatitis C thing, and she didn't tell me about it because she was worried. Mm-hmm. And then she said, I did the interferon, and it almost killed me. And I said, you know this test for non-specific liver activity, and you know that you have a history of some pharmaceuticals because you had some health problems and your liver's impacted. I fell apart that day. I was so upset.
Well, this is the point I wanted to bring up about that. No, it's good. I mean, I like to hear these stories of reality, because most people have said they couldn't handle, just like your mother said, the side effects. So, okay, a couple of people have said they've survived it, but still they end up in a situation where they're still, quote-unquote, diagnosed with it. They still have it somehow. And the reliance upon, again, viral load testing, I come back to this. Because in dealing with the so-called hepatitis C diagnosis, we've discussed and read and talked with people who have argued that the hepatitis C virus has never even been isolated.
No.
That's a fascinating discussion. We'll have to do more on that. But the utilization of these tests, I can't tell you how many times in working, like I said, homeopathically with silver, with herbs, with supplements, food-based supplements, a lot of selenium to crank up glutathione levels, that these people feel wonderful. I mean, they start feeling good almost immediately, and they're shocked. But then they go to get the viral load test, and they are scared out of their wits, because initially, you know, if they test it within the first couple of months or so, even within the first 6 months sometimes, the viral load test skyrockets. And they're looking, Doc, this makes no sense. I feel great. Dr. Liam, I feel great. Why is my test so high? And of course, they think they're getting worse. And I query them every time. Well, what have you been trending? Have you been trending much worse in the last 2 weeks before this test? No, I'm feeling great. Well, what does that tell you? It tells you that the viral load test is not communicating anything with a great degree of specificity or accuracy. If there is any truth to the so-called load test, it's not detecting anything that's viable. Your body is literally trying to catch up with the debris field because you are cleansing and your liver can't keep up. And that's the point. And you come back 6 months later, you still feel good. Now, of course, they can test you again. They go, hey, where all that go? But it takes a while sometimes for your excretory system to catch up to the debris field, the battlefield, so to speak, as you are strengthening your body.
It's hard to know and say these tests haven't been validated against anything. And there's no hepatitis C virus floating around. They used to call it hepatitis, what, non-type A, non-type B. In other words, you had non-specific liver inflammation. Why? Who was this active in? Alcoholics. People who had used a lot of alcohol, used a lot of drugs, street drugs, pharmaceutical drugs. Now everybody's on pharmaceutical drugs. Within 10 years, if this society teeters along the way it is, everybody will have some sort of hepatitis or liver inflammation because all of our livers are going to be impacted by the plastic and oil and pharmaceutical crap that we eat, the non-degradable.
That is the point.
Yeah, that's it. That's what they called it. Hepatitis non-type A, non-type B. There wasn't a little monster eating your liver. And my mother stopped the interference. She stopped all treatments for it. She got into some herbal stuff, and she's doing better, but she says the thing aged her 10 years, you know, this interferon thing. Miserable. Barely survived it. What if my mother had died because, because she didn't, she should have checked with me first, but, you know, she's her own person. What if she had died on interferon because she's a little older and a little weaker? What would they have said? Hepatitis killed her? Hepatitis C killed her? What about, is Pamela Anderson falling apart? I'd like to catch a little of what she has for a few minutes.
Well, the treatment, of course, is more dangerous than the so-called diagnosed disease. And in the case of interferon, as we talk about the brutality, anybody that's been through it, most of them can attest to it. And the aging thing, I've heard that as well. So do we become, or how do we transition from a culture that looks at numbers on a paper from white lab coats, literally these death sentences? Here's your HIV test. Here's your viral load test. And you look at it and you're like, well, I feel fine. Oh, well, that pay no attention to how you feel, right? You be on these drugs. And of course, what do the drugs do? Whether it be interferon, whether it be antiretroviral drugs, they literally mimic or create, or they are the disease. The drugs that they give you, all of the symptoms that come out to say, aha, see, we told you you were sick, and it was literally the treatment that got you there.
Yeah, my head's spinning with so many anecdotes, so many personal stories, so many bits of history. The mind reels, right? How did we get here? I don't know if we have time to do it in this segment, but I've just been reading about companies that happened to survive that bad period in Europe from 1933 to 1945. If you're familiar with history, we call that the run-up to the Nazi overtake of Germany and then World War II. There are plenty of companies and plenty of people who benefited from this, who we know their names today as world leaders, as world companies that still are tops in manufacturing and so on. And oh, what are you talking about, Liam? You're saying that the Nazis run the world. In a way, I'm saying that the bad guys didn't really lose the war. They just had to move. I didn't make up the expression, but they just kind of moved. I mean, what is Monsanto? Are they really less awful than the Reichstag? Are they really doing less terrible things than sort of Goebbels? They're owning the – we're talking about Monsanto because we have a great event coming up. But companies like this are – like, remember the old symbol for the Axis powers was an octopus strangling the globe. That was the symbol that the West used to show what Germany and Italy and fascist Italy were doing. They were strangling the globe and taking away freedom. Freedom to choose, freedom to think. Now we've got companies like Monsanto and all these pharmaceutical companies. There's so many people are taking pharmaceuticals now that to get a drink of water, I have to drink your leftover Prozac. I don't want it. Mm-hmm. And if I don't want to get it, I've got to go buy a filter so I don't get as much. Here's another joke. I went to buy a water filter the other day. I could have smacked my head against the aisle bin.
What happened?
At Target. I'm looking at these water filters and I'm reading, okay, good, no chlorine. Okay, animal residues, bacteria, chlorine, good, no chlorine. Mm-hmm. But, all of them. But, the Pure, the Brita. But we live in a healthy amount. Live in a healthy amount of
fluoride. Yes, isn't that great? The filtration companies themselves have been duped into believing this neurotoxic waste product of aluminum, bauxite, nuclear material, all of this stuff is okay. We'll leave that in. Doesn't that tell you everything you need to know about the experts? Why, I wasn't surprised, although I know the Dr. Willett we got, professor that was on earlier, wasn't the real guy. But still, the real guys and gals up there may not be as reliable as we have been taught to believe, because they buy into viral load. They buy into PCR. They buy into the treatments for these phantom fake diseases that are really diseases of toxicity and deficiency. And when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with my good friend, the conspiracy realist, Liam Sheff. Also, we will preview that new commercial sponsor here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, trying to find a way to fit it in. We'll definitely fit it in next segment so we can comment on it. And, of course, 866-939-BELL. If you'd like to comment, question anything here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, 866-939-2355. RobertScottBell.com. You're listening through NaturalNewsRadio.com. If you're catching it in a little bit of a tape delay, it's still just as good. Anytime you listen to it, we're just grateful that you're there. And we're here. We'll be right back after this.
Giving the pharmaceutical industry cardiac arrest.
Clear.
It's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
For thousands of years, silver has played an essential role in safeguarding human health. Robert Scott Bell Show listeners know that Sovereign Silver, bioactive silver hydrosol, is the purest and most effective form of silver available. Only Sovereign Silver contains the smallest and most active particles in every bottle, each batch rigorously safety tested to guarantee the highest quality. At only 10 parts per million, Sovereign Silver outperforms other colloidal silvers 50 times more concentrated. Sovereign Silver acts faster than echinacea, oil of oregano, and other immune products. Tastes like water and has more uses than anything else for the immune system. And Sovereign Silver now comes in a topical first aid gel. Use Sovereign Silver gel on cuts, scrapes, minor burns, bug bites, itching, eczema, diaper rash, and more. Sovereign Silver is the number one selling silver brand in the U.S. For a free information packet to order or for a store near you, call 888-328-8840. That's 888-328-8840 or visit sovereignsilver.com.
Hi, this is the Health Ranger here, inviting you to check out the Natural News Store. Yes, we have an amazing store offering superfoods and other healthy food items, including kitchen appliances like Vitamix blenders and food dehydrators, nut milk bags, lots of things for anyone who's interested in leading a healthier lifestyle. And here's another cool part about it, because we have such a huge reach, millions of people a month that we're reaching who follow Natural News, we're able to get huge discounts on some really high-end superfoods and nutritional products. We offer those at ridiculously good prices on our specials page. You can find that right now at store.naturalnews.com. Just go to store.naturalnews.com and you'll see the current specials link on the left-hand column right at the top there. Click on that. You can check out the current specials. We've got superfoods at prices that are often 40 or 50% off. Check it all out at store.naturalnews.com.
In the health world through the power of radio, it's the Robert Scott Bell Show.
Another fascinating discussion on tap here on the Robert Scott Bell Show with Liam Sheff. And of course, you can find his website linked at robertscottbell.com, liamsheff.com, also reducetheburden.org. Check out all of his wonderful artwork, cartoons, and things that really put that thousand words to the picture kind of thing. You get the visuals on so many subjects. Liam, glad to have you back on board here. We were talking hepatitis C as well. And I think what you really nailed is the liver issue, the fact that every and any liver issue, from congestion on down to cirrhosis and anything in between, can be relabeled. However, the priestcraft of the Church of Biological Mysticism label it. These are the experts. They say what it is. And much like the executive branch of the federal United States now, declaring anybody they want an enemy combatant and then taking them out by drone, you have the authorities basically acting as the king without repercussion, without question, without review. They make these pronouncements and you just accept them because they wear the white lab coats or they're like the fake Dr. Willett from Harvard.
Yeah, I don't quite know where to go with it, all of it, or how to help everybody, or if you can help anybody. I know people, very nice people, who spend their lives doing things just thoughtlessly, eating thoughtlessly without thought, being more concerned about maybe the color of their shoes that day or their outfit than what they put in their body, or really concerned about the color of their food on the plate.
Yes.
And whether it appears nice or it relates to some magazine that they're looking at, rather than how it works in their body. And I remember when I was young, I had very little consciousness about food. I didn't have much. And, you know, we went and ate things that I know I'm going to be dealing with trying to get out of my body if I can today.
Right.
FDNC number 5, but remember barbecued spare ribs at Chinese restaurants?
Yeah, yeah. They were all colored.
They're bright red.
Yeah. Where did that come from?
Yeah. What was that? And just thinking, oh, I want to have that. And then my taste changed as I was exposed to more things, Indian food, real Chinese food, rather than Hong Kong suey or whatever.
Hong Kong phooey, yes.
Yeah, whatever. Right. Terrible stuff they used to give us at those restaurants. How do you can't wake people up. You can't. It's an issue that I'm thinking about a lot. I'm working with activists. We're talking about the Monsanto issue. There's a movie that we just showed this weekend in Miami.
Yeah.
Called, what is it called? The World?
World According to Monsanto.
And it's a very good movie made by, I believe, a French investigative journalist. She's very sincere, very serious. She asks good questions. She proceeds at a pace. So you're I don't know. It's not a radical activist film. It simply lays out some, but not all, of the details of this company called Monsanto. Now, if a skull and crossbones were ever to be placed on in the public mind as an image to go with a company, I think Monsanto would deserve that. They were invented in 1901.
Yeah.
To produce saccharin for the Coca-Cola company. They went on from there to produce food colorings and caffeine. Okay, not the end of the world. To dioxin for DDT, dioxin for Agent Orange. Their Agent Orange had so much more dioxin in it, you know, than Dow's even, that it was responsible for so many deaths in Southeast Asia, for so many of these cases of horrifying stomach-emptying birth defects that you can't believe that we have visited upon the people of Vietnam, even all these years later. Country with the highest level, I think, of spinal bifida or bifurcated spine in the world, so people have legs, but they just don't work. You know, all of this thanks to Monsanto, the Monsanto Corporation, which is the largest seller of front yard herbicides used in the world.
Now, Liam, I remember when there was a poll on the Natural News website where we were voting on who was the most evil, you know, corporation on earth. And I was looking at Monsanto, that were one of them, and they won, by the way, that poll, which rightfully so, they should have. Although I weighed back and forth, and I voted for the Federal Reserve.
Mm.
Now, I voted based on current day, because I don't think Monsanto could exist to the level that they became without the Fed, like any of these multinationals. But at the same time, when you bring up 1901, which was 12 years prior to the Federal Reserve's inception, I have to give it to Monsanto at this point, that they take the proverbial genetically modified toxic DDT infested cake.
Right. How did they do it? Why haven't they properly been sued out of existence? Well, they haven't. They've kept shifting. They produced Roundup, something to be sprayed, and when the patent was running out, they decided to do something new. They decided to take the thing that was going to expire and become public, so every company could now make this toxic poison called Roundup. And they decided to genetically modify a plant by altering its DNA, by growing something with E. coli. Not everybody's friend, right? Growing something with E. coli and then distributing that through microscopic flakes of gold and shooting that with probably an electron gun or some such thing into the DNA of the plant seed to genetically modify. Really, that's what they do.
Wow.
I guess they're brilliant. I guess.
Diabolically so.
Yeah. To genetically modify the seeds of soy and corn and every other thing. Every other thing. And according to activists, they're buying everything up. Vandana Shiva in India, the great environmental activist, says they're buying everything up. The brinjal oil, the cauliflower, the peas, the corn, so that they own food. Now, when their patent for the crap that you're going to spray in your yard so you have the greenest yard without any weeds, I don't know what good that is. I like weeds. I like dandelions.
Yes.
You can eat them. when you spray, when that patent ran out, they wanted to be able to make sure they could still make money. So what do? They patent something that is resistant to the thing. So now everybody, no matter who sells the first crap that they made, they're going to make money no matter what, because they have a plant now that's resistant to it. So what plant are you going to buy if you can be talked into this? Now, what percentage – you follow all that? They wanted to make money no matter what. It didn't matter what happened to people. It didn't matter what happened to food. It didn't matter what happened to the environment. It didn't matter what happened to your stomach or the microbiome, the stuff in your intestines.
And I might add, Liam, that it didn't matter that government regulators and EPA has been in existence for a long time. And I think this is something that is lost on those for calling for more government regulation and oversight, I should say, because it prevented just what you said. Why weren't they sued out of existence? They shape-shifted, but the EPA, the regulators, actually shielded them from some level of liability, so you couldn't go directly after them. They gave some semblance of approval, like the king said, it's okay. So if the king says it's okay, how could it not be okay? You can't sue for damages in a true free market. And this is really hard for people to get. The government is there to arbitrate, if you will, have a fair hearing. Was somebody damaged from this product or service in some way? And they could not be allowed to pollute the environment the way that they have.
Well, they not only got favors from the EPA, they are the EPA. They are the FDA.
They are the revolving door.
Right. There are a dozen Monsanto executives who are now FDA and were FDA and vice versa, and they are each other. They're not even two faces of the same. They're just...
Yeah. We covered it even with Jeffrey Smith the last couple of days. We've had him on the show on Sunday and Monday, and he talked about the Obama administration as being up the ante even from George Herbert Walker Bush. When they first said biotech was the way to go, we were going to defend it no matter what.
This was a move, and you can see it in this movie, The World According to Monsanto, one of several documentaries about Monsanto, but a good one. You can see the first President Bush, son of what, Prescott Bush? Grandson of who? I'm going to say Herbert Walker.
I don't remember. I remember the Prescott, but some nasty stuff in that family bloodline.
Herbert Walker, Harriman and Brothers. Prescott Bush, where did they make their money? They made it they made it financing the war machine. Which war machine? Not just ours, but
the Nazi war machine.
Yeah. But do they have to apologize? Do they have to return their baubles? Do they have to?
No,
give
they
back
become
the
president.
Two presidents.
Two presidents. This is how we do it.
This is how we do it. You know, I thought we weren't a monarchy. I thought we were. You know, I know we're an aristocracy, but we're. God, this is just bloodline stuff.
These are bloodlines. Listen, this is the point of the last few days, my outrage about Obama. You know, I don't know what bloodline he's from, and I frankly don't care, except that he's there operating as the king. Whether he's in control or whether he's a puppet, the reality is when the executive branch can make a decision and say, you're done, you're executed, and there is no trial by jury, there is no indictment, there are no rights anymore. We say you no longer have them, and we get to make the rules, and we don't even have to prove to you. You know, that was the YouTube video I played the other day as well on the air here on the Robert Scott Bell Show, where one of the reporters was asking the White House spokesperson, it's like, dude, can you at least show us something? And he just sidestepped. It was very painful to watch, to see that our country is decayed into a monarchy, a tyrannical monarchy, at the point that they defend going, and then that I don't know what percentage of Americans are going rah 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 from the left and the right, going yay, Obama took out another bad guy.
Yeah, the left, you know, the left is so fixated on distancing itself or arguing with or putting down the right, they'll take anything to use. So they got excited when SEAL Team 6 pretended to kill the pretend Osama bin Laden, who was already dead. We can't see the body, and we can't see pictures, even though we got to see Saddam Hussein hanging, and we got to see his show.
Well, we got to see Osama bin Laden watching television.
Yeah, well, I don't know who that was. Call Alan Alda. They look a little similar.
Hey, I mean, you, get that camera over here. I need people to see me watching TV.
I know.
What is that?
Right. Time. Yes. In case the American Satan comes to kill me.
Yes, we want to show proof that I was here watching TV.
Yeah,
Jeopardy,
right. And then the SEAL Team 6 chopper was shot down. It's a comedy of errors. And then there's a book that's made. It's like the story that comes out of Fletcher Prouty, who was CIA and worked in the Defense Department in the 60s, 50s and 60s, who was involved in a lot of the kinds of stuff the CIA was doing. who said that when the JFK assassination happened, this pipsqueak Lee Harvey Oswald was blamed, and within hours there was a full press kit made.
I think they had word on Australia, you know, right back then.
No internet.
There was no internet then. Australia
knew it. There's a wire service, but they had photos and a whole history. In other words, people want to hear something that suits this narrative. So, yes, there's a non-resolving door between EPA and FDA and Monsanto. And Monsanto will own food soon if we care to believe that they do.
They will own you when those Roundup Ready seeds bind into your own DNA. They'll claim ownership over you. Listen, we got to go to we're almost out of time. This is almost a final commercial break, and it's not even official. It's a bonus one because we promised this new sponsor we would play their ad. And so we're going to leave our mics open to comment because they're new. We want to make sure that they are good for everybody here. So stand by. Here we go.
Hey, who's your friend?
It's Little Pancake.
She totes amazing. She's my very best friend.
Little a doll?
Little Pancake.
Little Pancake.
Little Pancake.
Okay.
The sweetest doll on the block.
She smells like frosting. I can wear her earrings. She loves to dance.
That's nice.
She has a purse.
This is weird. And I've never had an advertiser like this.
From HPV.
What? V!
Would you like some more tea?
Whoa.
Did you see that? A syringe popped out of that doll.
Pancake is the first doll approved to administer the human papillomavirus vaccination to girls under 10.
Little Pancake, Little Pancake.
Oh my God.
Pancake protects against HPV with a series of 3 injections over a period of 6 months. And she's got her own phone.
Look, she's texting.
This is horrible. Oh my God, it popped out again.
Side effects include fever and nausea.
And death.
Yeah.
If you're already pregnant. Once you're done playing with Little Pound Cake and you've gotten all your shots, remember to dispose of her in the Little Pound Cake bin.
So 3 shots and you throw her away.
In a medical disposal bin.
Biohazard.
The only thing you're going to get infected with.
Oh my God.
Well, how did you get this sponsor?
Well, I think it came through NBC, and I thought that was unusual. Now it's sort of like I'm thinking that we got a little bit duped on this.
Was this punked? Were you punked?
Well, those of you who don't know, that came from Saturday Night Live just this last Saturday. When you get spoofed on Saturday Night Live, you have entered into the general consciousness, and I think this was shocking. And who sent this to me? I think Rosemary over at SaneVax, the gals there, brought this to my attention. I didn't see the show. And this is literally an ad for a fake doll with a syringe that pops out and injects these girls with HPV. I mean, I wonder if Rick Perry came up with this or the Democrats in Congress in California, because they want to inject these girls even without parental permission. And this comes right back to our discussion, Liam, of the PCR, right? It's another 3-letter designation that based on PCR, they said, oh my gosh, HPV causes the cancer, which is nonsense to begin with. And here you have, unfortunately, the religious worshipful left of scientism advocating this in California.
But are they? And I listened to this commercial, and for a moment, I didn't. It's hard for me to know because Saturday Night Live's politics are so crazy. It's hard to know what they think. Or, as I call it, the comedic drug addicts who tap dance before the nation late night Saturday. Because it really, that's what you're getting. You're sort of getting gutter humor, whether you understand it or not. You're getting it's not even liberal. It's just off the map. You don't know what people are saying or why. And sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's just excruciating. And you sort of get through the thing. And they know when it's bad, I hope. And there's great comedy that comes from it and really awful stuff. Is this, are they waking up? I mean, if they're becoming aware that pharmaceutical companies can go too far, then they're breaking with the left. Sure. I wonder what Senator Al Franken would say. I believe that everybody must be injected with this. You know, he's a Saturday Night Live writer. He's an ex-Saturday Night Live writer, performer, drug addict.
And he became senator in Minnesota. Well, I mean, these are the questions, but I think that the debates of the the Republican debates are really brought out something that no one anticipated they would, and we've covered them here. Go back and listen to some of the shows we've done on the debates and the HPV controversy with Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann calling him out, of course, Congressman Dr. Ron Paul, who says it should be your a right to basically care for your family and your children the way you want. No government mandates, none whatsoever for vaccination. Opting in, not opting out. And that's what we believe here, although we would take it a step further because we want them to know the full information once you know it. And in fact, we'll have some news coming out on that because John Rappaport and I have been working on an extensive seminar like never before done on the issue of vaccinations. But stand by for that. We'll be doing that. Liam, always great to have you on board. Thanks for helping me out again today on the Robert Scott Bell Show.
You got it.
Yep. Elevating the level of discussion, covering things unlike anywhere else in the broadcast media. This is the Robert Scott Bell Show, robertscottbell.com, and all the links to today's show. I appreciate everybody being on board, and we'll look forward to having you back on tomorrow. All of you out there listening, you'll be back with me. In the meantime, all I got to do is remind you that the power to heal is yours.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
So if you're too school for cool, and you're treated like a fool, you could choose to let it go. We can always party on our own.
The Robert Scott Bell Show.
So raise your glass if you are wrong. And I'll write ways all night.